Third hour, Darren Donica Chase here on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point. Weather's beautiful here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. We always enjoy our chats with our next guest. Former Titans wide receiver Harry Douglas is on the line with us. Harry, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Well, we're actually talking about a football game that's actually going to take place tonight.
Yes. Are we though?
Yes.
We're talking about some stuff really, around the football game.
Not really. We're talking about, yeah.
There's a lot of yelling, but, you know, we're good now.
I want to ask you, as a former receiver, when you know, watching Drew Brees last night, watching Phillip Rivers on Sunday, watching Matt Ryan on Sunday, these quarterbacks that have incredible resumes, right? And I don't know whether they're future Hall of Famers or not. I think we know Drew Brees is. Matt Ryan and Phillip Rivers, we'll see. But they have these unbelievable careers, but then you start watching them at this point in their career and you're going, oh, okay, they don't make the same throws like they used to. Their arm strength is clearly way down. They're throwing a lot more interceptions than they used to. As a player, as a receiver that depends on those arms and depends on those quarterbacks, what is it like to go through that whenever you're kind of seeing that? Nobody wants to talk about it, right? But everybody sees it happening around them.
I'll tell you, first, from a receiver's standpoint, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, especially when you run certain routes. And I used to say this in practice. Our receiver group used to say this in practice all the time. We don't like to run for anything now. If we're going to be running, let's go ahead and connect. But it's frustrating for a receiver. Now, the flip side of it, you have, as a receiver and being in the NFL, you have to be a pro. You can't be jumping and screaming, jumping up and down and saying he missed me in this whole nine, because the other side of it is you also don't understand what's going on in that pocket. You don't understand the pressure that the quarterback may be having as he's trying to deliver the football. So a lot of those things play in and tie in, but at the end of the day, we're in this league for a reason, and guys have to make plays. And I have the utmost respect for all three of those guys, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, and Phillip Rivers. All those guys have done a tremendous job in their careers. But, and honestly, I'm not going to hold back Tom Brady either. Watching Tom Brady on Thursday night and the velocity on the football,
good point,
was, I'm just going to say, it was terrible to me. I tweeted it one time. I was like, my goodness. He tried to throw a go route to Mike Evans, and it literally looked like a lollipop going in the air, like a little lollipop throw. And you could just see the expression on Mike Evans' face, like, who in the hell is he throwing the ball to? Like, literally, that was Mike Evans' expression and facial expression on that play. And I was like, my goodness, what is going on right now?
So when you see, and now you've just brought another, and that's a really good example. So I'm just, through your eyes, you know what it's supposed to look like. You know, how it's supposed to look coming out of the hands of the quarterback. Those guys that were just mentioned, and throw Tom Brady in there, because he definitely belongs in the discussion as well. What do you see right now out of them? Do you think, when you see them, that they are I mean, everybody knows their careers are winding down just simply because of their age, but yeah. I guess the question is, when you see how bad it's looked at times this year for all those guys, do you wonder if this is truly it for them?
Well, I'll tell you this. One of the things that all four of those guys have over a lot of quarterbacks that's played the football game ever is the intelligence and the understanding of the game and what the defense is trying to do before they actually do it. Now, we mentioned this thing called Father Time. Now, Father Time may be catching up to a lot of these guys. And another common denominator when it comes to all four is that none of them are mobile quarterbacks. They can't get away from pressure that a defense may bring to them and bringing blitzes and things of that nature. And you look at the NFL today, the NFL is going more to a dual threat quarterback. Doesn't matter who the guy is, a guy who can escape the rush, a guy who can throw the football on the run, the guy who can launch it still 40, 50 yards while he's rolling to his left or his right. That's just the model of the NFL game right now. And it's crazy because when I came into the NFL in 2008, that wasn't the case whatsoever. So it's crazy how time flies and things evolve, things change, and we have to change with the game.
In fact, we went up to Buffalo Harry to start the last hour and learn a little bit more about the Bills. And when talking about Josh Allen's play this year and how he's kind of taken that big next step, the step forward in his career, he's having an unbelievable season. The Bills reporter, who's the NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, he said that, you know, one thing that Josh Allen has done his whole career is run, right? But this year he's not. He's looking to make the pass. When you see Josh Allen this year, what are you seeing?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's really helping Josh Allen a lot is the emergence and the arrival of Stephon Diggs. Now, I think the Bills have one of the most underrated secondaries in the National Football League with Stephon Diggs, John Brown, and Cole Beasley. And they have these young guys, Isaiah McKenzie, who can do little speed sweeps, who can go out, line up in the slot and run routes. You have Andre Roberts, who is a return guy, but you can give him a speed sweep. And if you have to throw him in there to run a route, he can do so. And Josh Allen is just doing a great job of taking care of the football. That's the big thing. When you're a quarterback, you take your shots when it's there. He's not afraid. He's completing, if I'm not mistaken right now, 70% of his passes. He's just barely 70%, but that's good. That's good for Josh Allen. And he's given his football team a chance to win. That's all you can ask of your quarterback. Take care of the football. Make the plays you're supposed to make. If you make the heroic ones, we love that. But do not lose a football game for us and put our football team, and don't give our football team a chance to actually be victorious.
We're talking to Harry Douglas, the former Titans wide receiver, longtime veteran wide receivers in the NFL. I'm curious, Harry, as a longtime member of the Players Association, let's just set aside the virus issues that have plagued the Titans here. But the circumstances are, they basically have not practiced up until, help me guys, would the first practice have been Saturday or Friday?
Yeah, it's only been Tuesday? Like a couple of days.
So they've gotten two or three practices, one of which would be a walkthrough in a two-week span, and they're going to go out and play the Bills tonight. As a member of the Players Association, would you have a concern for player safety tonight? I know there's an issue of you got to get all the games in so everybody gets paid for 16 games, but I feel like that would be a really troublesome thing to feel like the team is prepared physically, et cetera, to be able to play an NFL game tonight. Do you have the same thought, or do you think this is just what you have to do?
I'm both sides of the spectrum. I do have concerns, but at the same time, guys in the NFL, they get paid money to be a pro. Okay, when you're away from the game, no one's going to babysit you and tell you, hey, you got to – probably get on the treadmill. Hey, you need to go outside somewhere, run around your neighborhood, stay in shape. You're expected to do that. The great teams are expected to do that. The bad teams probably won't do that. And that's why you see some of these organizations having a problem right now from top to bottom, because they have to be told to do everything. Now, if I was on this team right now for the Titans and we were going through what we were going through, I would have been working out every day on my own, some kind of way to keep my cardio up. I would have been stretching every day. I would have been doing yoga. It's all kind of things you can do virtually now. You can do yoga virtually. It's all kind of things you can do to stay in shape and be top notch when it's time to play ball again. You can't just sit there and wait for a coaching staff or the organization to hold your hand and tell you what to do. That's not what the NFL is about. This is not college. That's not how it works. So that's how I'm playing both sides of the spectrum.
So now let's take the part of it of the preparation. You've done the Zoom meetings.
Yep.
If let's say you're the offensive coordinator, for example, you're talking to the receivers. How much do you have to simplify the game plan tonight because you haven't been able to be on the field to practice and go through as much as you would normally do it? What should we look for tonight, and how would you approach it if you were a coach?
Well, I'll tell you this. First and foremost, football is not hard. I think a lot of people make football hard. If you believe in your football team, you believe in your O-line, you believe in your tight ends, your quarterback, and every receivers, running backs, everybody on your offensive line, and things of that nature, everybody on your offense, there's no reason to try to line up and trick people. If you feel like you have the better team, do what you do best. You do have to simplify things because you didn't have that on the field, because it's some things that you go through throughout a week offensively and defensively that you want to see live, and that's just not the case when it comes to this game tonight. So you have to bank on faith and bank on things that you've done well up to this point and lean on that, basically.
We're talking to Harry Douglas, longtime NFL wide receiver. The last time we had you on, I think we discussed Corey Davis and his struggles and what he needed to do different. Obviously, he's had a really good start to the season for the Titans. Looks like he won't be available tonight because of being on the COVID list. But have you seen anything different from him so far, or is it just the fact that Brown's been out and he's been able to capitalize on an opportunity?
I think it's a combination of both. I think it's one of the things, the elephant in the room is that the Falcons did not pick up his fifth-year option. Okay, so this is a contract year for you. So you want to do great. You want to ball out so you can get paid some kind of way. Now, I think Corey has did a great job of keeping a straight mind, a straight narrow, having tunnel vision, and just remaining focused on the task at hand, not putting himself before the team, but when the team calls his number, making those plays and being available so that the team can thrive and the offense can thrive. Now, some of it may be because Brown has been out, but that's the NFL period. You're going to have injuries. You can't – when you have an injury to a player, the great teams do not sit there and worry about what they're going to do offensively or defensively because someone is out. The great teams have backups or other players that are well-prepared that can step up and play the game of football and have success doing so, and they just move right along.
Harry, obviously you're in Atlanta, and so you're quite familiar with what's happening with your team with the Falcons. Were you surprised that it was a full cleaning of the house with the GM and the head coach, or is that kind of where you thought it was going to go?
That's kind of where I thought the direction it was going to head in, only because Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn worked hand-in-hand. They were in unison. They made decisions together. They did everything on one accord. And they were unified in doing so. So it would have been hard to let one go and not the other one. And everything they're doing was in a cohesive manner. Young guys, you understand what I'm saying? So
sure.
I think, and I'll say this, both of those guys are wonderful men. Thomas Dimitroff, he was the GM that drafted me. I had a chance to talk to Coach Quinn and be around him on numerous of occasions. Now, we got to understand that in the NFL, in this league, in any business, it's just like you're out there in everyday life. So it's the bottom line business now. You have to have results. And when you look at the Atlanta Falcons the last two seasons, they went 7-9, and then they started off the season 0-5, and then you are having the late game debacles to finish games and actually games that you should have won. So all of those things tying it together, plus on top of having the late game stumble in the Super Bowl, played a part in the decision that Arthur Blank made.
All right, now I have to ask you about this before we let you go. So Darren and Willie, pay attention. I know you went on another show in Charlotte earlier, and you said, quote, Teddy Bridgewater right now is the best QB in the NFC South. Why do you feel that way?
Well, when you look through the first five games, he's actually been the most consistent. He's the one guy, when I look at all the games of all the quarterbacks, who hasn't thrown lollipop footballs. You just don't see it. He's efficient. His percentage is better. He gets his offense into the right play. Now, it does help Teddy that he has a guy that's, Robbie Anderson is, top five in the NFL right now in receiving yards with 489 yards. So that was a great signing for him. And it's weird because coming into this year, I didn't think Teddy was going to struggle, but I didn't think he had enough around him. But Coach Rhule, Joe Brady, Teddy Bridgewater, all three of those guys, the three-headed monster, have been on the same page. And when you can have your quarterback, your OC, and your head coach on the same page, on one accord, you're going to get the start that you have for Teddy Bridgewater. And I love that he's doing the things that he's doing, because I always knew Teddy has been this quarterback. He was that quarterback in Louisville. Shout out to Louisville. I'm an alum. He was that quarterback in Minnesota before he got hurt. And we all seen what he did last year with the New Orleans Saints when he got his opportunity. So this is past due. He'd been deserved the money. He'd been deserved the accolades and the shine and the shining light that he's getting right now. And all his hard work and his even-keeled mindset is paying off right now.
Well, just to give you some context, when we made our preseason predictions, I said watch out for Teddy Bridgewater, and have been on the Teddy B bandwagon ever since. So it's kind of a running gag here on the show. Hey, Harry, appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thank you, guys.
He is Harry Douglas, former Titans and Falcons wide receiver. We'll have more coming on the game tonight and around the NFL next. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.